Let's pray, and then let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you once again that we can study your word. We pray, dear Lord, that you will lead us and guide us and continue to enlighten us as we see how the psalmist grapple with issues in his life and what it means to pray to you. That we ask, dear Lord, that you will bless this time, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be able to relate to you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, today we will again review Psalm 4, 5, and I hope this series of lessons from the Psalms will help us understand ourselves a bit more and how we can relate to God. Okay, so now let's take a bit of time to just review Psalm 4. And with reference to Psalm 4, he was talking about how he sought to be righteous, how he saw God answering his prayer based on his righteousness. So he was facing a near-death situation, and then he was seeking to pray to the God of his righteousness. So there comes that idea of his own righteousness. And then he went on to talk about how the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. And so that becomes the basis of how he prayed, where he saw God answering his prayer based on his righteousness, based on his personal righteousness. And then he struggled with a bit of anger, be angry and do not sin. And then post-prayer thing, wherein he offered the sacrifices of righteousness and put his trust in the Lord. Right? So here we see him seeking to be righteous. Now, last week we talked about how there was this problem of self-righteousness. And the issue is that he was tainted by self-righteousness. Okay? Yeah, come. Hi. Hi, come. Hello. Esther, right? Yeah, come. Have a seat. You can sit with him. Yeah. Yeah, come, Esther. You can sit there. Hi, Esther. I'm Pastor Mitch. Welcome to you. We'll get to know you better along the way. Yeah. So what we're doing now is that we're going to study from the book of Psalms. And so we're going to study a series of Psalms. Basically, the Psalms are songs and poems. They are reflections of the psalmist, or in this case, David, where he went through a lot of problems and difficulties. And then he struggled with his problems. There were times when he felt really down and upset. And what did he do during those times is that he learned how to pray. Okay, so we are going to study, we're going to review 4 and 5, and then we're going to take a bit of time to study 6, Psalm 6 today. And they are a series because he wrote them during times of his struggle, and then he prayed to God. Okay? Now, along the way, in Psalm 4, he began to tell God, okay, God, I'm in this bit of a problem. Please hear my prayer. But he is going to tell God, God, you hear my prayer because I'm righteous before you. I am good. I have done good. Okay? And because I'm good, please answer my prayer. Because there are all these wicked people around. And they are giving me a lot of problems. Okay? Now, when he come to Psalm 5, okay, we can turn to Psalm 5. And in Psalm 5, we read how in the morning he cried out to God again. He prayed to God. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. And then he talked about how God is a righteous God. Verse 4, who does not take pleasure in wickedness. And, you know, he talked about how God would destroy those who speak falsehood. Now, in verse 10, we see now David being tainted by self-righteousness. Okay, he wants to be righteous, but then along the way, as he prayed, he became tainted by self-righteousness. Okay? A person who is self-righteous is like the Pharisees. They are totally hypocrites. They are people who condemn others. Now, for David, he was tainted by self-righteousness, meaning he's not totally self-righteous, but this self-righteousness problem had affected him. Okay? You know it's tainted, right? When milk is tainted, what happens? It becomes sour, right? Yeah. The moment you drink it, wow, it's really, really bad. I think when I went to Switzerland, and on the second day, I drank some coffee, and then they gave me a milk that was tainted. Yeah, oh, after that, on my second day of my trip, straight away I have problems with my stomach. Because straight away I can recognize that hey, there's something wrong. And for the next 2-3 days, I have to go and sort it out. Right? But you can sense it straight away. It's tainted. So for David, he was tainted by self-righteousness. And the way he's tainted is by the way he prayed. Or rather, express it by the way he prayed. And then he said, "Pronounce them guilty, O God." Verse 10. "Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in a multitude of their transgressions." Wow. So he was very judgmental. He told God, "God, kill these people. Wipe them out. They are guilty before you." Okay. So he was tainted by his self-righteousness. This is seen by how he introduced the word is called imprecatory. Imprecatory means to be very judgmental, to pronounce bad on others. Okay? Imprecatory. Okay? So that's what we studied last week. And then we can see that his anger problem is still there. Okay? Ken? So it's just a review. Any questions you want to ask? If you were to read Psalm 4 and then Psalm 5. Ken? It's just a review. So today we come to Psalm 6. In Psalm 6, it's a bit different from the first two Psalms. Or rather, there's a big difference from the first two Psalms. Now, let's read Psalm 6. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 6. And then now we read. It says, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure." Okay? Now, instead of being tainted by self-righteousness, he is now going through a time where God is chastening him. Okay? The word chasten means to be corrected. It means that God is correcting this person. God is allowing this person to go through problems and difficulties in life so that he can cause the person to rethink what he's doing. And very often, there is a sin problem involved when it comes to chastening. Okay, so he feels rebuked by God. He feels that God is, in some ways, punishing him, but with the intent of helping him. Okay? Yeah, none of us like to go through correction, punishment, at any time. Right? How many of you have been caned before? Right. Well, very good. All of us been caned. I've been caned twice. Okay? Together with Pastor Mark. So Esther, I have a twin brother. He's also a pastor here. So he's taking the group downstairs now. Okay? So in case along the way you see another person that looks like me, it's okay. You're not seeing double. It's my twin brother. During the week, I was having dinner at a restaurant. And then the waitress came to me and said, "Are you Mark?" And I say, "Oh, no, I'm not Mark. I'm Mitch. I'm Mark's twin brother." And she was, "Oh." Because my brother has been attending that restaurant. So it was my first time going there. And the lady came to me and said, "Oh, are you Mark?" And she was a bit tentative because I didn't recognize her. Her name is what? Yeah, I forgot her name. Anyway, Sam. Her name is Sam. Anyway, she, after that, "Oh, okay, wow, you're Pastor, Mark's brother. Okay. So Mark and Chinky, has been going to the restaurant now. Yeah, and the restaurant is quite good. So it was my first time there. Did I tell you about the hairdresser one? Okay, so there was once, I must tell you this, Esther. When I was, so my brother and I, we were going to the same hair salon for many years. And then the hair salon closed down. So after that, okay, so I was going to find another hair salon. And I went to Strand Gardens. And randomly, out of the 3,000 over saloons in Singapore, I so happened to go to this one, and it's called Caesars. And I went upstairs. And the hair stylist, wow, she looked at me. The first thing she did was, she did this. Then she said, "Didn't I cut your hair yesterday?" I said, "No." "Hey," I said, "Yeah, I cut your hair yesterday. How come your hair grows so fast?" okay, maybe it's my brother. So I call Pastor Mark. "Hey, did you come to this place yesterday and cut your hair?" "Say, yeah, yesterday I was there." I say, "Oh, okay. Then I told the lady. I say, "Hey, no, I'm the twin brother of Mark." She say, "Oh, wow. I was thinking, wow, what hair salon lotion you use, your hair grows so fast." Wow, it was so funny. Okay, anyway, besides the point, coming back to the point. Yeah, and so along the way, I think it's very important for us to understand that, okay, so coming back to my point of being corrected. See, and so one day we were playing football and it was Pastor Mark's fault. And he kicked the ball and the neighbor, the glass broke. Boom. Yeah, wow. Then we ran. My house was just in front, but we all ran. So we all ran, didn't know what to do. And then hid in a corner for a while. I say, "We still got to go home." So, you know, my neighbor came to report to my grandma. My grandma to my dad. Wow, kena kini. Yeah, after that, I never played football outside. But that's where we learned. That's where we learned important lessons from God. And so for the psalmist, he was going through a very difficult time. Now, the background is that he was still tainted by self-righteousness. His sins does affect a lot. Okay, sometimes we look at sin and we feel that it doesn't affect us too much. But actually, sin does affect us. And very often, people tend to downplay their sin. Okay, so being tainted by self-righteousness, we can downplay sin. Okay, that's one thing. And we can upscale the sins of others. Can you see that? So we can downplay our own sin, but we can upscale the sin of others. And that was something that David did. And so he ended up being chastened by the Lord. And sometimes we forget that sin, one sin has three aspects. There's the transgression part, there's the sin part, and there's the iniquity part. Okay? So when a person sins, there are three aspects to a sin. There is a sin part, which is an affront to God. Okay? Then there's the iniquity part, which is the whole idea of the, you know, the severity of it, or the cost of it. And then there's the transgression part, where we are crossing the line. Okay? So sin is always grave. It's never something that is to be taken lightly. And that's something that God was trying to teach David, that sin is severe. Sin is grave. And so God rebuked him, God chastened him. Okay? And God does this out of love. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 3 for a while. So in Proverbs 3, we read in verse 11, my son. So Proverbs 3, verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord or detest his correction. Okay, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. So at the back of chastening, correction, is love. It's God who delights in us. It is God helping us to understand that what we are doing is wrong and we need to change. So God allowed David to go through this time of chastening, time of correction. And you must always remember that it's out of love. It is always out of love. It's always out to help us. God wanting to help us so that he can delight in us when we walk in the right. So that's how we should always see chastening. But it's never easy to go through chastening or correction. And so let's go back to Psalm 6. And for David, it was a tough time, right? And then he prayed. And during this time, he realized how weak he was. The initial two Psalms, in some ways, his confidence in his taintedness being by self-righteousness caused him to be very, okay, you know, God, you should judge this wicked. You know, I'm better than others. But now, it's a totally different stance. He recognizes how really weak he is. And so he begins to petition and to pray out of weakness, which is the right way to pray, right? So Psalm 6 is actually the right way to pray. It is out of our weakness, out of our sorrow, out of our time when we are really, you know, going through a time where we are seeking forgiveness for our sins, that out of this contriteness, we pray to God. So he begins by saying, God, have mercy on me. So he is now, okay, let me rub this. So he begins first by having a consciousness of weakness. He is conscious now of how weak he is. Have mercy on me, verse 2, O Lord, for I am weak. And it's always very good for us to come before God and tell God how weak we really are. In reality, we are all weak. That's our default mode. No matter how righteous you may think you are, we will always be weak human beings. We can find grace and strength from the Lord, but in reality, we will always be weak human beings before God. And I think that should always be, that's the right way to pray when we are conscious of our weakness. So at this point of time, he almost came to a point of death, right? Circumstances helped him to check the way he was praying. And what's happening now is that there is a turnaround. He is no longer talking about his righteousness. He is no longer, you know, telling God to go and pronounce others guilty. Right? He is now looking at himself before God. And before God, we are all sinful. We are all weak. And so for David, he was going, he tells God, God, heal me, for my bones are troubled. Maybe one of the things that he was going through was a time where he was having a sickness or something that is affecting him physically, and he's asking God to heal him, right? My soul is greatly troubled. For you, O Lord, how long? So it's not just physical thing, but he was also deeply troubled within his soul. And I think we all perhaps have gone through times where, you know, we struggle. We struggle with sometimes physical issues. There are times when we struggle with things within the soul. So now he was praying not just something mentally, but he was praying out of his own soul. It is the spirit by which he prays. So what God looks for very often is the spirit by which we pray. Right? It's not just the words we say, but it's the spirit. Can you see this? Okay, do you have any questions you want to ask at this point of time as you all see all these things? Can you see or not? Can you understand where I'm coming from with this? And so he was. So there's the consciousness of spirit part. Okay? And then there's the corrective part. Okay? He's being corrected. He's being humbled. Can you see? He's being humble. He tells God, return, O Lord, humbled by the rebuke and chastening. And the Lord was instructing him through the chastening time. He learns how to pray properly. And there was a corrective element that came about when his prayers were not answered. So he tells God, God, but you, O Lord, how long? So his prayers are not being answered. Right? And the Lord was humbling him. The Lord was correcting him. And now he was pleading for the Lord's mercy. He was asking the Lord to save him for mercy's sake. Okay, verse 4. Return, O Lord, deliver me. Save me for your mercy's sake. Okay? He was pleading for the Lord to return. Return, O Lord. So he can sense the distance. Okay, he can sense that God is distant, and now he's asking God, please come back to me. Restore that relationship with me. I can sense your distance, right? Return to me, O Lord, deliver me. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give thanks to you? Okay, so now he's reasoning with God. If I die, then who's going to give thanks to you? You see his reasoning? Right. Initially, he tells God, God, because of my self-righteousness, because of my righteousness. Now he tells God, Lord, if I die, then who's going to give thanks to you? You see his reasoning? Huh? In other words, he's trying to say he cannot find any good reason about himself to plead, so he finds a reason with reference. His logic, lah, there's reasoning with God. God, you know, who's going to give thanks to you? Can you see how he's reasoning with God? And then verse 6, wow, this is a challenging part. Verse 6, and I think many of us can identify with this. Verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All night I made my bed swim. I drenched my couch with my tears. Wow. It's a very powerful image. Huh? He cried until the couch can float. Again, you understand? No worries. The couch, all night I made my bed swim. So it's not your full big four-post kind of bed. It's more like a mat or something. And then the mat can float because there were so much tears. Right? And then the bed can float away. Right? And wow. And sometimes when we are down, when we are depressed, when we are upset, there are times when tears come for a long time, again and again and again. My eyes waste away with grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. So he cries until his eyes feels old. Right? He feels that, wow, it's like being wasted away. Can you see that? And that's tough. It's a very, very tough time for him. And so you can see that as he prays, this time is no longer with a self-confidence. It is out of his weakness. It is out of his contriteness. So there's a change now. There's a change part. Right? There's a change. It's a change the way he's praying. Can you see? So, it's not good to be tainted by self-righteousness. Actually, when we look at our own lives, what can we be self-righteous about with reference to ourselves? Right? When we look at our own lives, we are all weak, we are sinful, we are, you know, really nothing before God. And the only way that we should pray before God is to be able to pray with humility, out of our weakness, right? So he was still tainted by self-righteousness, but now there's a bit of change. Okay, there's a bit of change. There's a different spirit in prayer. Now he has what we call a penitent and contrite spirit. You know, it's contrite, right? The word contrite. Contriteness means to sorrow, to be repentant, to have a sense of regretfulness for one's sin. Okay, and we can sense that as he prays, he finds a struggle. He finds a struggle with reference to his sin. He is weary with his groaning. He is most sorrowful over his sins. And now there was a deep sense of penitence, which is something that God looks for. Okay? Now, let's go back to the parable again. I really like this parable. Luke 18, for the benefit of those who were not here last week. Let's turn to Luke 18. Verse 9 to 14. Okay, and of course, he spoke this parable, the Lord Jesus, to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Right? Two men went up to the temple, one a Pharisee to pray, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. Wow. extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Wow. Self-righteousness. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. Wow. That is penitence. He dare not even look at God. He dare not even raise his eyes to heaven. Huh? And then beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Okay, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble. So what we see here in 4 and 5 and 6 is David being humble. Okay, see? You exalt yourself, you will be humble. Right? Not humble, humble. Okay. And those who humbles himself will be exalted. So the best position to pray is always one of humility. Deep humility before God. And when we are penitent, when we are contrite before God, God looks upon us and He hears our prayer. Right? And that's the best way to pray. That's the best way to come before. Okay, let's stop for a while. Any questions you want to ask concerning this? Anything? Anybody? How? You're accepted? Don't accept it? Find it very hard to go through chastening? Hard to understand? What do you think? What do you think? Mathis? What do you think? What are your concerns? You gotta speak a bit louder.
You don't want to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's always a bad feeling. So like, I understand like trying to downplay your own wrongdoings.
Yeah.
But if you're wrong, you're wrong. You have to be corrected.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the hard part, you see. Because I mean, in reality, let's just be very honest. We all tend to downplay our sins. Isn't it? Right? I mean, if you want to be honest with ourselves, we all do sin and we tend to downplay it. And being tainted by self-righteousness, we will upscale the sins of others and then we downplay our own sins. I think that's something that we all struggle. Right? Partly it's because of our pride. So one sin leads to another sin. Right? Our pride is that we, you know, it's very hard for us to admit that we are wrong or when we are sinful before God. Sometimes we find it hard to even confess our sins before God. It's always a dilemma, a challenge, a struggle within us. And yet, the best way to go about it is how we should see ourselves for who we are. Right? You know, sometimes we wish we got a spiritual mirror. Every morning we get up, we look at it. Then we see, how many sins we have done the day. Yeah, we can take an x-ray of our heart. And then, okay, that's how sinful we really are. Because sometimes we don't. We don't really look at ourselves for who we are. Right? What do you think, Laura?
is quite real.
Yeah.
The struggle to admit that you are this sinful is... I think to reach that state of self-awareness is also very humbling.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not even aware that you are this sinful or that we are this rocked in our own...
Sure. Yeah, and that's where God sometimes has to chasten us, you see. That's where He has allowed certain things to come into our life. And you know, you can continue in your sin and just ignore God and find that things will become worse and worse and worse. Or you can just come before God and admit our weaknesses, our sinfulness. I mean, I would tell you honestly that I'm one person that I will admit first that I'm a sinner before God. I'm not someone who is truly, fully righteous before. No, I'm not. I admit that I sin too. And I have to ask God for forgiveness. It is to me a must for every day to confess my sins before God. Because I know that, in fact, I don't need a spiritual mirror. I really know that I sin. Right? You sit in a bus, and then here comes a... Or rather, you are driving, and then the person cuts into your lane. Oh, wow. Sin in three thoughts, three ways already. Transgression, iniquity, right? And then sin. Isn't it? You get angry when people... Or you are very cool all the time when you drive. Okay. More shocked by it. Oh, okay. Yeah, like, you're very good. That's the best kind of driver. For me, when I was young, I get very upset. Huh? Last time when I used to drive, this guy will just cut into my lane or horn me. I get very upset. I'll drive behind him. Then I flash the light. Then I'll honk him. Then, I drive away. But it was 30 years ago, lah. No, okay? I tell you, 30 years ago, I was a different man. Now, better. I don't drive. So I don't sin. Okay? Yeah. Only sin I have is chasing after the bus, and then the bus doesn't stop for me. You know, the bus at the bus stop, then run! The guy, boom! Yeah. I shall not tell you what I think. Yeah. But you know, there was this bus driver in 10, you know, every time I take 102, every time I go up the bus, he will go and say good morning to every single person. Huh? To everyone, including me. Wow, he's the nicest bus driver I ever come across. Now you have a lot more Chinese bus drivers. And some of them are very nasty. You don't even wait. So like I run in front of the bus. About, you know, the bus is just there. The fellow closed the door and then... Yeah, very nasty fellow. Then, pull back. Shall not say anything. Yeah, it's hard. It's not an easy thing to grapple with our sins and so on. Right? And it's something for us to think through seriously. Why is it that we find it very hard to look at our own sins? Why is it that it's hard for us to see? Partly it's because we don't like to see ourselves for who we are. Right? We don't like to... So for David, when he sinned against Bathsheba, against God with Bathsheba, committed adultery, and especially the greatest sin, of course the biggest sin, is killing Uriah, right? Indirectly. His intent is to kill, but he got, you know, the enemies to kill him for him. And that's wrong, right? Took him a year to admit it. Took him a year to confess his sin before God. Right? And what was God looking for? Okay, let's turn to Psalm 51. Right? And so, wow, he prays before God. Right? When Nathan the prophet went to him, the transcription, after he had gone into Bathsheba. So actually it's a year later. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Right? Verse 5. So acknowledge, so after 1 year he acknowledged, for I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned. So when we sin against, when we sin, it is an affront to God. Meaning, when we sin, it is something that is done against God, and God takes it personally. That's what sin is like. Huh? Done this evil in your sight, that we may be found just when you speak, blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, in sin my mother conceived me. Right? So Pastor Monk and I, we were born on the same day. He was born at 5:55. Okay, 5:55 p.m. Yeah, after 9 months together, I kicked him out. And so he came out first. And then I was born at 7:05. 1 hour, 10 minutes later. My mom was so angry after that. You! Every time I do something wrong, she says, you, I wait for you 1 hour, 10 minutes. It's not my fault. Why do you blame me? It's not my fault, right? I don't know what's happening. How I know? And she wanted to sleep. Every time she said, you know, I wait for you, I want to sleep. The doctor come to me and say, Mrs. Tan, you cannot sleep. There's still one more baby coming. And then, because Mark came out first, when I came out, is dry labor. I mean, it's very painful. That's why she always angry with me. Right, always blame me. Hi, you. Right? But when we were born, we were conceived in sin. That's our default mode. So we must always remember that. Our default mode is not righteousness. Our default mode is sinfulness. Right? We are always sinful, no matter what. Even though we've been saved, we've been, cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, with reference to salvation, we have imputed righteousness in the sight of God. In terms of personal righteousness, we are still sinful. That's our default mode, right? Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. In other words, God desires us to practice the word of God that it becomes part of us. Right? Truth. Right? Not just law, but the truth of the word of God in our life. In other words, it's interpreted correctly and then it becomes part of us, that in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Wow. Right? So when truth becomes part of us, what comes forth is wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You see? Right? What comes true is wisdom. Purge me with hyssop that I shall be clean. Wash me that I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken. See, what the psalmist, what David was going through earlier in Psalm 6 is that his bones were broken. He was going through a tough time. Hide your face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And that's something that we should always pray. Right? Do not cast me away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Okay? Now, I like what he reads in verse 16. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I will give it. For you do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. One of the best ways to pray before God is with a spirit of brokenness. It's when we are broken before God by His chastening, by His rebukes, by His correction, that God would look upon. It's not just offering gifts or singing or praise or serving Him that He is really looking for. You can do all those things with the wrong spirit. But when there's that brokenness of spirit, when there's that contriteness, when there's that broken and contrite spirit, these you will not despise. Wow. That's where God really looks at our heart and our spirit, and He delights in that. He looks for that. When we are proud, when we do not look at our sins, we think that we are okay before Him. Sure, out of mercy, He might still hear our prayer, but when we have a broken and contrite spirit, that's where He looks upon us in a very special way. And if I could say that sometimes, you know, I like being broken. Not that I like going through the process, but when I'm broken, that's where I can really pray to God. Because I know myself. I'm proud. I'm stubborn at times. I'm rebellious in my own way. When I was young, I was a real rebel. Right? And that default thing doesn't go away. And it took me many years to overcome that. And learning how to be cleansed, how to conform, how to follow the ways of the Lord. I still do struggle. But I really like, you know, when my heart is broken, is contrite, is humbled before God. And when I pray, you can really sense the presence of God. And that's what I try to do every morning. I try to come before Him with brokenness. With tears. Look, okay, let's go back to Psalm 6. And you see the difference now. Earlier in Psalm 4, it says, you know, look at my righteousness, have mercy on me, hear my prayer. You have set apart Him who is godly, the Lord will hear when I call to Him. You know, it's all about His righteousness. But now, when you read in Psalm 6, for the Lord, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, verse 6, verse 8, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Wow. Ha. It's a different approach now, isn't it? You see, earlier He's, okay, it's about myself, about my righteousness. Hear me, O God of my righteousness. But now it is in terms of His weeping. Hear my prayer. It is His brokenness. And then there comes, and it's out of that brokenness where He prays, that He says, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. See the difference now? The change that has come about? When He first began, He was very self-righteous, you know, He had tainted by self-righteousness. But now He has become humble. A bit more humble. Okay, I tell you first, He has not totally gotten rid of this being tainted by self-righteousness. Okay? It is only at this point of time where you see that He is able to have this brokenness. Okay? It's not easy to get rid of this self-righteousness within us. And now He responds. And God hears His prayer. Isn't that beautiful? Right? You see the whole thing? Wow. I think that's something for us to really think about. Okay, any questions you wanted to raise up concerning this? Yeah, go ahead. Verse 10. Let all my enemies be ashamed, greatly troubled. Let them turn back, be ashamed suddenly. Yeah, that's... So that's him, see? Right. So on one hand, he pleading, I'm trying to avoid that. No. So that's still him, see? Right? All the brokenness is there. But at least this one, he's a bit more not wipe them out, you know, kill them. It's more like, let them be ashamed, be greatly troubled, let them turn back and be ashamed. Can you see? Well, wait till next week. Next week one, you will see him back to his old self. You see, that's how, in reality, what we are like. One moment, we can be tainted by self-righteousness. Next moment, we can be broken. And then the sin problem comes back again and again. Very humbling. Actually, frankly speaking, if you really see yourself for who you are, it's very humbling. It's a very humbling process. I mean, I look back on my life, I see myself. And during the week, I just took a moment to just recall certain things that happened in the past. I say, wow, did I do that? Did I say that? Was I like that? I say, oh man, thank God it's over. Or rather not. And you know, he just looked back and he's, wow, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have. Then you thank God that now you're a bit wiser, a bit more humble. Right? You ask me, would I like to be your age? I would. But with my understanding now. If I go back to be your age, with my understanding when I was your age, I don't want. Because I was foolish. I was fool of myself. Even though I was, learning to be a pastor, I was still, wow. I think life is very, very humbling. I've gone through my own fair share of problems and difficulties in life. And life is very, very humbling. Right? So, 2 weeks ago, pastor said, okay, everybody come back to church. So, every day, we are back to church. Right? Full on, 7 days, work week. Our work week is 7 days a week. Okay? And that's fine. I'm no problems with that. So, I've got to work out my exercise schedule. I used to exercise during lunchtime. Because I work from home. So, lunchtime, 1 hour, I go and work out. So that was nice. But now, I cannot. I've got to work here. Right? So I try to think, okay, Monday, half an hour, I go and walk. Tuesday, I go and carry weights. Okay? Wednesday, I go and walk. Thursday, I carry weights. And then Friday, So I tried first week. Monday, go and walk. Okay, settle. Tuesday, go and carry weights. Then I realized I didn't warm up. So I started carrying. Oh man, then that I got back problem now. So after 2 weeks, my back still hurts. Yeah, life is very humbling. Yeah, so now the good thing is, not good thing lah. Or maybe don't say it's a good thing. Like when they clean up, I cannot help them now. Okay? So it's not a good thing. But I love it. I love carrying things, but now I can't. So sad, because my back is having a bit of a problem. And life is humbling. You're not as fit, you're not as strong as you used to be. And you realize that as you go through life, sometimes the best thing to do is just be able to look at our weaknesses and to humbly come before them. And to always have this brokenness and contractness in our hearts. Now, you can have it for a moment. You can have it for a day or two when you are struggling. But to have it as a disposition of life that is another thing. To have it every day is another thing altogether. So to me, this is a cure to being tainted by self-righteousness. When we can find the humility, the brokenness that will stay with us every day. Can you see? Okay, over to you. Any question? Natalie, how the lesson been? It's been good? Anything that you want to... How do you find as you come? Maybe you can just share a bit. As you come, right, you're training to be a lawyer, you can speak. What do you think? How do you feel?
I think the lessons have been good because it's very clear.
Yeah.
It's very step-by-step way of thinking and to reflect about on our own lives.
Sure.
And I think it's very different from what I was used to in YPG.
Yeah.
Because YPG, we touch on very fundamental things about faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one really helps to think deeper and understand deeper about what prayer is.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And about life. Isn't it? That life is not easy. Work is not easy. Right? Work can be very humbling. And as you go through life, work, the problems of life and difficulties, sometimes God allows certain things to happen so that He actually has a plan. Right? He allows certain things to happen. It may be work, it can be problems, it can be health, it can be anything. And as you go through those things, He will use that to correct us, to change us. Right? Olivia, what do you think?
I think like what others have shared, just very challenged by, I think, how much we don't realise, like, we sin every day.
And sorry, what?
It's just very challenged, like, with the idea that, like, we're indeed so sinful and...
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And perhaps the danger is also not just, like, downplaying our own sins, but, like, looking at our sins and thinking it's okay because it is, like, it's, like, normal.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. You're right. You know, after a while, and partly it's because... of the world. Because the world sees things in a certain way. And because we are part of the world, we are in the world, and, you know, the world sees things and in a certain way, and after a while, we can also compromise with the world. And the world, we become part of the world. So, one leg in the world, one leg in church. And you're right. After a while, sin can be normal. Sin is okay. Right? Until God has to chasten us, correct us, and then we learn from the experience. It's humbling. And yet, it is something that we need to deal with. We need to be corrected. So, it's better if we walk with the Lord. Right? Let me share with you something that I read along the way. And so I read about 5 chapters every day for the sure joy of it. And I was just reading a passage that I've read through like 4 or 5 times already. But then during the week I was reading, I say, wow, I never saw that before. And it's taken, very easy to remember, Matthew 23:23. Okay, Matthew 23:23. What is it that God requires of us? What is it that is important to Him? And this was with reference to the Pharisees and the scribes. And they were people who were very self-righteous. They were looking at all the external things that were important to them. And God and the Lord Jesus was rebuking them, chastening them, scolding them, you know, saying that they are hypocrites. And so on. In verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. What are the weightiest matters of the law? Three things. Justice and mercy and faith. Wow. When I read that, I say, wow, what is the most important aspect about the law? Three things. Justice, mercy, faith. Three things. Wow. And that stayed on my mind. Justice. You know, Micah 6:8? You know, what the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I mean, same. Walking humbly is faith. Right? That's faith. Your dad's favorite verse. Micah 6:8. He quoted quite a few times that walking worship spirit. Right? To do justly, to love mercy. You know where the verse from? Micah 6:8. Okay, let's turn to Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8, we read verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, right? Justice. To love mercy, mercy, to walk humbly with your God. That's faith, isn't it? Right? Three important, weightier matters of the law. Huh? Interesting, huh? You never saw that before, right? Have you all seen it before? No, right? I think that's really, really special. And I think that's something that we want to think about as we live for the Lord, that we want to do that which is just, to do that which is merciful, and to do that which is with reference to faith, to walk with the God each day. Ken? Okay, any other questions from us? Anything? Anyone? Okay, if not, next week, we have our gathering night program. You all know where it is? It's at Matthias' place, Minton. We'll send out the address and everything, and we'll start probably at 6:30. Esther, you are invited to join us if you want to join us. It's basically a dinner, and we gather together, have a bit of dinner, and then I'll share a word, and then we'll take the time to get to know each other and to have time of discussion too. So you're invited, up to you, if you want to come and join us. Gabby will let you know. And then how many of you are not coming? All coming? Good. Okay, great. We have a wonderful food waiting for you all. And very special pizza, right? Yeah. Very good pizza. And so on. Ken? Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for the lessons that we are learning from your word. We come before you, Lord, with all honesty, recognizing, Lord, how sinful we are, how weak we are, how much we need to look at ourselves for who we are, how sinful we are, and to be able, Lord, to come before you and to confess our sins, to learn how to pray out of our consciousness of weakness, to be able to be corrected and to change in our approach to praying to you. Help us, Lord, to pray with contriteness and with a broken spirit. We ask you, Lord, that you will hear our prayers. May you restore us. May we be able to walk with you in justice, mercy, and with faith. We ask for your blessing as we give this offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.